So we have scripture today in 1 John, chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. This is entitled Faith in the Son of God. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Do you have children's church? Probably not. That's our scripture for today.
So one prayer request that I failed to mention. John is having surgery Tuesday, if you guys aren't up to date on what's going on there. Last Wednesday, that's how fast it's happened? A week ago this past Wednesday, he had a stroke, at least one stroke. And it was caused by a brain tumor that he's got. Tuesday, he's going in to have that brain tumor operated on. We don't know anything about it being cancerous, anything else, but just keep him in your prayers for that. And then Jacob is going to go to the United Methodist Church now, like that, stepping out in faith and telling them about the upcoming dinner. So I want to pray for him and send him out. If anyone would like to come, I'm going to ask him to come right here and we can lay hands on him and send him out, because any ministry that we do needs to start with prayer. Amen. And I'm so thankful that he's stepping out to do this. Father, we thank you for your Spirit that guides us, that empowers us. And Father, I thank you for my son's faith. I thank you that he is here, that he's not in a foreign land, but he's coming to serve you. I just pray that you give him strength. I pray for this ministry that we're about to undertake with our community. We're breaking down walls between the church and the state. And Father, we're breaking down denominational barriers. Father, I just pray that there's a success here, that people see Jesus Christ, that they see Christians united in brotherly love to serve our community, to tell them why we have this joy, why we have the faith, the hope that we have that leads to love. Love that is eternal from you, God the Father, through Jesus Christ the Son. Be with Jacob as he goes today. Give him peace, strength, and we just thank you and praise you for this church, for him and for all of those who gladly serve you in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray. Amen. So he'll be leaving shortly. When you see the turkey leave, don't worry. He's not getting cooked. He's just going out. So the sermon title is called Faith and Love. About Thursday night or something, because this was a busy week, I'm like, I have no clue what to preach on. And Jacob said, preach on faith. I was like, okay, we'll see where that goes. And the Holy Spirit led me where that goes. So there was no problem with it. It's so amazing how God gives you everything that you need. Whether you think you have the time, whether you think you have the ability or the strength, if you're willing, God will provide everything else you need. So I Googled the definition of faith, and I was surprised what I got. Because when you Google it, you just get a result before you go into different websites. And the Google result was a complete trust or confidence in someone or something. And I was surprised to see the word complete there. So I started digging around some more and going into more websites, and I'm like, yeah, that's what I figured more. As you looked at more definitions, that definition began to water down more and more and more. I think today that so many people, including Christians, think faith is just, I hope something will happen. I kind of trust it. I have this feeling that it might happen. That's my faith. But that's not biblical faith, even in the remotest sense. Biblical faith is something that is grounded, that is firm, that is true, absolutely beyond a shadow of a doubt. And we'll get into that definition in a little bit. But the problem lies in the fact that Satan's been around for years and years and years trying to destroy our definition of faith, our definition of love, so that we think we're kind of getting by with it. Friday night, we watched a movie called Do You Believe? And I have copies, but I failed to bring them this morning. They're in my truck. But one of the things that stuck out with me in that movie was this gentleman got saved, and his wife, according to her brother, said, she thinks she's saved. She thinks she's a Christian, at least half a Christian. I think in her mind, she thinks she's 5/8 a Christian. Well, what is that? Sometimes that's what we think so much, because we accept our parents' faith, or we think we believe. But Jesus was clear. He said, I don't believe in those in John chapter 2 because they don't believe in me. They want something, or whatever the reason is, but they don't truly believe. True faith, true belief leads to being born again and faith. And we'll talk more about that. Dictionary.com defined faith this way. It said, faith is a confidence or trust in a person or thing. But it left out the word complete. It watered it down. It also said that it was a belief that is not based on proof. We have such proof. And people think that of Christians. They think they're blind and ignorant. Look at the world out there. Order does not come from chaos. Look at the beauty. Nature screams out that there's a God. And then we have the prophecy of Jesus Christ that was fulfilled. We have a Savior that fulfilled all of that prophecy and rose again. He's not in a grave. He went to heaven to prepare a place for us. If that's not enough, you are empowered as a believer with the Spirit of God. And if you let Him take a hold of your life, you'll see Him move through you so that your life will be changed. No evidence, blind faith? I don't think so. I also said belief in God or in the doctrines or teachings of religion. So any God is okay? Any religion is okay? If you'll study, you'll find fallacies in other religions, but you won't find any fallacies in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Went on to say it was a belief in anything as a code of ethics. So as long as it changes your behavior and you do good as a result, then that's faith. That's okay. Also said it was a system of religious belief. So as long as you have orders and rules, it's faith. And it said it was the obligation of loyalty or fidelity to a person, promise, or engagement. A bond that we have to pay back. Well, we have a bond. We've been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. But that means we don't have to pay it back. We can't pay it back. We'll never be able to pay it back. Jesus paid it once and for all. God sent His Son to do something we would never, ever be able to do. And as Paul says, that doesn't mean that we don't do anything, but that means that we do live a life worthy now. And we're empowered by the Spirit to do that. But you can never pay back as far as the definition describes in dictionary.com. You can't pay back that obligation. That's not faith. Faith is to say that I will step out and trust my Lord God that He has done everything that I could never do myself. That's biblical faith. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 and 2 says this, if I speak in tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. I don't know about you, but I want the kind of faith that can move mountains. That would be incredible. I'll even settle for something a little less, not move a mountain, but move a car across a parking lot or something. You know, that's the kind of faith I would just long to have. But Paul says here, if you have that kind of faith, but you don't have love, I am nothing. Not only is my faith nothing, but I am nothing. And if you look at that biblical definition, it means non-existence. Not even a man, not even a woman, not even a thing. Paul described that so much that he said, if I have faith that can do remarkable things, but don't have love, it's like I don't even exist. I'm nothing. Matthew 5:13, these are Jesus' words. It says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything." Same Greek root word, nothing. And then he goes on to say, to tell us more about it, "except to be thrown and trampled underfoot." It is completely and utterly worthless. That's a life that doesn't give salt, that doesn't season this earth, that doesn't preserve this earth, gives flavor. And if salt loses its saltiness, it is worth nothing. The King James Version gives charity instead of love. In 1 Corinthians it says, "If I do not have charity, then I am nothing." The Greek word used here describes agape love, the kind of love that is the definition of God. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." Everything is according to God's plan. It is because of God's love. Sometimes we don't want to see it in this world, but He's still in control. He still loves just like He has always loved and always will love. And He wants us to know and experience that same kind of love. It encompasses who God is. It is His very nature and understanding. So if we understand just a glimpse of Him, how can we not love others? Agape love is shown through us to show others who God is, why He sent Jesus Christ. So how could we not love one another? How could we not put our love into actions? You'll never have brotherly love possible if you don't understand agape love. And if you have faith that can even move mountains, but don't have that love, it is nothing. Non-existent. Another one of Jesus' teachings in Mark 11, verses 22 and 23 says, "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they will say will happen, it will be done for them." Jesus tells us we can only have faith in God. We can't have faith in other religions. We can't kind of sort of believe it's going to happen. We have to have total, absolute faith in God. So what does the Bible say that faith is? Hebrews 11:1 gives us a definition. "Now faith is confidence, or the substance, in what we hope for, and the assurance or evidence about what we do not see." That's not blind faith. We have all the evidence. Faith is a substance or confidence. It means it's a foundation on which we build and trust our beliefs to make us steadfast and firm, so that when times of trouble do come or hardship, we can stand firm in our faith, fully assuring us. Why? And what for? Hope. We can have full confidence in hope because God loves us. It won't change. God created us. He loved us enough to purchase us back with Jesus Christ's blood, His only Son. Jesus paid the price once and for all. He rose from the dead, defeating death, so that we might live and live through Him. So how can we not have faith? Jesus Christ did it all. We've just got to accept that and let Him empower us through His Spirit, which He said, "I did not leave you as an orphan, but I am sending My Spirit, the Father's Spirit, to you. I've got to go so that He can come and do everything." Read up about the Holy Spirit and look at all the things that He can do for the believer, if you'll allow it. A life can be lived that is worthy. Faith is a confidence or substance in what we hope for, not mankind's hope, but fully ground assurance that this will take place. God's Word never changes. His plan doesn't change. His plan is to restore all that will believe through the blood of the Lamb. We have a hope that is grounded 100% in biblical proof in who God is. An assurance or evidence of what we do not see. So we think that maybe we have blind faith at sometimes because we can't see it. But we can look back and see God's love all throughout creation, all throughout the words of the Bible, speaking of Jesus Christ, who came, who taught us, who lived, who died, and who rose again. Went to heaven, told us He was preparing a place, sent His Spirit to be with us. What more grounding do you need? Absolute, positively, our faith knows that we will spend eternity with God our Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's not blind. It's not ignorance. It has no doubt. It's tested, tried, and true. So we have nothing to fear. Praise God and praise the Lamb. So if we have faith, faith in God, not faith in this world, not faith in idols, but faith in God, then we should be able to move mountains, is what Jesus says. But don't forget, Paul says, even if we can do that and don't have love, that it's nothing. Paul goes on to describe more about love, what it is and what it is not. 1 Corinthians 13:4, we read, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. And then Paul goes on to describe more about the attributes of God's love and what our love should be like. Then we drop down to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8. It says, love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. The verse starts out with, love never fails. God's love never fails. We may not understand it all the time. We may not see it the way we want to see it. But it never, ever fails. And shouldn't that apply to us if we're to be like Christ? Shouldn't our love never fail? But it does so many times. But we don't need to beat ourselves up because Jesus paid the price once and for all. But we need to realize that so we don't get beat down. Don't think that it doesn't matter. But when we fail, we get right back up because God's love never fails. And we need to let our light shine before men that they may see that love. Love never fails, at least it shouldn't. Remember that. Here's an ironic thing, though. You are a sinner, aren't you? So you will fail. But the victorious thing is God will always love you. Jesus Christ died to cover all of that. Not just your past sins, but your future sins. He paid the price for everything so that you could be victorious. Don't ever forget that. That is why God sent Jesus to do what we could never, ever be able to do. So many times we try to think that we're righteous by our works. But Ephesians says, for by the grace of God are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, not by works. It is the gift of God. That doesn't mean we don't work. We work because we love God. But our works will never get us to heaven. They will never make us right. Jesus' blood paid that price once and for all. It's something we can never pay back. So we need to stop trying to work for salvation. And when you try to stop working on your own, then guess what? You can make room for God to work through you, can't you? You can say, I can't do this on my own. I wrestle with that every single morning. I get up thinking about what I need to do today. And then it hits me at some point. You need to do what I tell you to do, and I empower you to do, and give you oxygen to breathe, and legs to walk on, and a mind to think with. I'm in control. Do my will. You are the vessel. And then I think, wow, I need to give my life to service, not because of works that I can do, but to please my Father in heaven, to bring others to the light of Jesus Christ. My life is not my own, even though we think that it is. It never was. And it especially isn't since Jesus paid the price to buy it back. So I need to stop trying and lay down my life willingly as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is my reasonable act of service and worship. So I try daily. Do I fail daily? Yes, we do. But that means I try less and let Him try more. Let Him do more. Because the more I try, it's just this conflict. because I'm trying to do all these things, and I'm trying to do them for the right reasons to please God. But I'm not relying on that faith that God can do all things through me as long as I'll let Him. Reading on in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 10, it says, "But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears." Yes, our goal should be to be like Christ. Jesus taught that in His teachings. He says, if you want to be part of the kingdom of heaven, if you want to be my disciple, follow me. Take up your cross daily. Deny yourself. Take up your cross daily and follow me. But when completeness comes, we will be complete. We won't need the other spiritual gifts that the Spirit gives us. We'll have love. That's what we'll have left. Drop back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we'll read a little bit more about the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 says, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed." Dropping down to verse 4. "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work." Verse 7 says, "Now to each one, manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." What are the gifts? Verse 8 goes on to tell us, "To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another the interpretation of tongues." So if you didn't catch them, wisdom, knowledge, faith, what we're talking about, healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, and interpretations of tongues. And these are the gifts that Paul describes here. There are other passages that will tell us more. These gifts have not changed, they have not ceased, and their purpose is for the body to bring others to Jesus Christ, to unify the body. They have a purpose. Faith is a part of those gifts. So let's go back to chapter 13. Ending out 1 Corinthians 13 is verse 13. It says, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." See, when we believe, we start developing faith. Hopefully, faith that can move mountains. But Paul tells us without love, it's nothing. That faith gives us hope. Not hope like mankind has, but true hope that we know that one day we will come to glory with Jesus Christ because of what He did, not because of what we did. But because He said, "Come and follow me," we should follow Him. We should be an example. We should be a light. And then when we reach completeness, what do we reach? Love. And that doesn't mean that we can't try to achieve that on this earth, that we stop before we reach love because we're going to reach that love in heaven. We need to be striving for that every day here. But we say so many times, it's hard to love. It's hard for me to love those who I do love, those who are close to me, because they do things that offend me. So there that I problem is in the way. But it's even harder for us to understand how we can love others, especially our enemies. But yet that's Jesus' teaching, isn't it? So if we just get that I problem out of the way and see through Jesus' eyes and let Him lead us with His Spirit, all of a sudden it hits us. That's why God loves us so much. That's who He is. That's why Jesus came. And I have been redeemed. I need to show that love. And the only way I'm going to be able to do that is let the Spirit guide me, set my path straight. Because I can't do it on my own. I need that kind of faith that moves mountains, but has love for one another. John 15, 13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." Sacrificial love that we're supposed to give for others. I'm hoping that maybe we can start doing that more through this Thanksgiving dinner. That's one way that we can reach out and show love. When we were at the yard sale, it was so funny to watch people. Some people were so loving and so giving. Some had some great testimonies. Others, when we tried to hand them a flyer on Thanksgiving, you can keep that flyer, I don't want no part of it. We even had people that pulled in the church and they would drive right through. And I have to think in my mind, they were thinking, oh, this is a yard sale at church? And out the road they went. I don't know if that's the case or not. But we're called to love because Jesus Christ loved every one of them. And when he was being crucified, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So anytime I think a thought that I shouldn't think, I think of that and think, how dare me not choose to love someone else? Jesus Christ died for them right along with me. And thank goodness I know it's been revealed to me. So I need to reveal it to them as much as I can. I need to draw them. So anytime my light is dimmer, I need to grasp a hold of the Holy Spirit and get a little brighter so that others can see that light. To read more in John, the passage from John 15, verses 11 through 17 says this, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete, so that you'll fully understand and receive this joy. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Jesus went to the cross. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. Oh, he lets us know that he did. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. No treasure on this earth will last, but those that we can draw to Jesus Christ will be eternal. And so that whatever you ask in my Father, in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love one another. Faith without love, without truly sacrificing, without letting the Spirit lead you to a life of love, is nothing. It's meaningless, like it's not even existence. I don't want my life to be worthless. It's not about me. It's not about the things I do. It's all about Jesus Christ and what He did for me, the love of the Father. So how can I not try to put myself out of the way and let the Spirit go through me? What about you? Do you truly believe? That's what the movie we watched was, is do you believe? And it starts off with a gentleman asking a pastor that question. And that question hit him. Do you believe? Because if you truly believe, it should be faith that leads to moving mountains, which loves one another, as Jesus Christ loved and gave himself up. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So our scripture reading from this morning was 1 John 5, 1 through 5. It says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. We read about that in John 3 with Nicodemus. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out His commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep His commands, and His commands are not burdensome. John even tells us that, because that's the first thing we think, I can't do this. This is way too much. They're not burdensome. Jesus gives them to us so that our joy may be complete. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. There's victory in Jesus, isn't there? This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. The New Living Translation, I like how it says it better. It says, for every child of God defeats this evil world. And we achieve this victory through our faith. That's what faith can do for you, as the words of the song said. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So to highlight that a little bit, everyone who believes in Jesus is born again. Everyone who loves God loves His children also. How we know that we love the children of God? We carry out His commands. In fact, keeping God's commands is love for God. Contrary to sinful human nature, His commands are not burdensome. Everyone that is born of God or born again overcomes and defeats the world. Those who are born again achieve victory over this world through their faith. Who overcomes the world? Only the one who believes and has faith in Jesus. What an encouraging scripture passage. Jesus also said this in Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all of your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So if you don't understand how much Jesus loved, think about how much you do love yourself. Everything that a sinful man does is for himself. We just need to turn that around and do it through Jesus' eyes. Do what Jesus would do rather than ourselves. Get ourselves out of the picture and let the Spirit lead us instead of ourselves leading us. All the law and prophets hang on these two commands. Kind of figuring out what God's love is, what agape love is, how much He loved that He created us, and how much more He loved that He sent Jesus Christ to take our place, to pay our penalty of sins and take the judgment upon Him for once and for all. Faith that can move mountains is worthless unless we love. And it makes the difference between a life of defeat or a life of victory, a life of nothingness or a life of worth. So do you have that kind of faith? Your bulletin has a statement in the center of it. It says, life is way too short to spend another day at war with yourself. Think about that. Give it all to Jesus today. He'll take it gladly and lead you to the victory of the cross. Father, thank You so much for Your love, that You have a plan, that Your plan is perfect, and that You gave us a privilege to be a part of that plan. We thank You for redeeming us by the blood of the Lamb, making us righteous through our faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, strengthen our faith. Give us the kind of faith that will move mountains, but more than that, Father, that will show love to one another, so that maybe those who don't know You will come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb to the Father. Help us to be those type of Christians. Help this to be the church that spreads the gospel message of Jesus Christ, regardless of persecution or anything else, regardless of ourselves that get in the way. Help us to tell the gospel message of Jesus Christ. We just thank You and praise You for who You are and what You've done. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.